We welcome in our friend Andy Hart of WEEI.com. He joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. He sees us on Zoom. We see him on Zoom as well. By the way, I just want to alert the youngs, right? Because we've all got youngs in our lives. Apparently, U.S. lawmakers say TikTok won't be banned if it finds a new owner. Could you imagine what our country would do?
My kid would be pissed.
If the 14 to 24-year-olds had TikTok taken away, Hart, your thoughts?
Maybe kids of that age would actually, I don't know, get their ass up and do something instead of just staring at their stupid phone and then making me do stupid TikToks when I've had a few beers on a Friday night when we get back from dinner.
Well, listen, you know what? You get wrangled in and your drinking problem gets exposed, you know?
And I was shaking my ass on some Chinese website.
Okay. That's clean, thank
you. Nick, thank you. That was clean. Yeah, we'll take that. We'll save that because Hart's with us on Thursday and Friday. So why are the Patriots allowing themselves to get used by Calvin Ridley?
What other option do they have? I mean, you have a simple sort of need for a wide receiver. He's the best wide receiver on the open market. You have a lot of money. He knows that. They know that. Everybody knows that. You don't want to overpay for him because that's the part of this I agree with. He's not a number one wide receiver. He'd be your number one wide receiver. That is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Number one wide receivers do not hit free agency. I would just ask anyone, go find the guy that hits free agency that changes your offense for the next 5 years. They all get traded or drafted. So Calvin Ridley is what he is. He's the best available. And that's created this situation where, you know, you or I, well, not you, Gresh, you wouldn't, but maybe Lou, you and I might like break and say, ah, F it, take another $20 million. I don't care. I need a receiver. Doesn't seem like the Patriots and Elliott Wolf are going to do that because, what did he say? It's spend money, it's save money, it's TBD. Well, he's TBDing.
Yeah, and that kind of goes against the Patriot version of full throttle. I know Mayo took that back, but and I think that's the right move. I'm with you. I don't pay or trade for a guy like T. Higgins either, right? First, he's not a number one wide receiver in my book.
Oh, we sure about that? We sure about that?
What, you think they should?
T. Higgins, I'm more intrigued by.
Why?
Because, as I said, that's how you get number one receivers.
You think he's number one wide receiver?
I think you can make a strong argument. Jonathan Jones does. Go back to Christmas Eve 2 years ago and ask Jonathan Jones if he thinks that T. Higgins is the number one receiver.
Well,
he treated him like a child.
Yeah, and when you get treated like a child and have a bad game, you come out and overhype the guy. But without Jamar Chase, is he a number one wide receiver? Is he Juju? Who is he? Is he Ridley? Without Julio Jones, who is he?
I would guess he's a number one wide receiver. My question is he the 23rd best wide receiver in the number one slot? Or is he the 12th best? Or where does he go on that ladder? And that's the question teams ask when they're paired up. You know, you break up Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. They were rolling in Minnesota, right? Stephon Diggs goes to Buffalo and he proves, yeah, I'm the man.
So is this the wide receiver room going into the draft?
No, I got to think they do something, whether you settle for a Hollywood Brown. I mean, the most intriguing guy on the market, I think we could all agree, is probably Brandon Ayuk, right, in San Francisco. If he's legitimately a trade option, if there is any fire with that late smoke there, you got a guy coming off, I think he averaged 18 yards a catch last year.
I'll do a quick
back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. I know he gets a little bit lost in the McCaffrey-Debo hype.
Yep.
I'll take Brandon Ayuk, and I think we're all a little bit trigger shy because coming into the league from Arizona State, I think people thought he was N'Keal Harry, and he's become what I guess N'Keal Harry was supposed to become. But, you know, there's not a lot of options. I'm not going to pretend there are a lot of real palatable, awesome options out there. And the thing that concerns me is if you don't sign a tackle like Tyron Smith and you don't sign a receiver like Calvin Ridley, whatever the cost, you're saying I absolutely have to nail the hell out of the draft. I have to get a starting quarterback at 3, a starting tackle at 34, and a starting receiver at 68. And that just feels a little bit unlikely to me.
Well, Hart, let's circle back on Calvin Ridley. Is it better to overpay Calvin Ridley to get him in here, or is it better to just keep signing guys that are at maybe the level that you have? Like, for example, do you entertain an older Keenan Allen if he hits the market? Do you think of Hunter Renfro, where they aren't a real quote-unquote, say, number one, but they provide you depth that, well, if you had a guy like a Tom Brady, you'd be able to spread the ball around a little bit.
So my question would be, and I don't know the answer to this, what they're thinking, but the I'm going to use a term from Bill Belichick. I know he's frowned upon in these parts now, although it's getting harder and harder to blame him on all the frugality over the years because he's not here and they're doing the same damn thing.
You're wrong, Hod. He was a bastard. He was old. He was a troglodyte. He needed to go.
Well, all those things can be true, and you can still not have a great new era here to start off with. But what is the timeline of the mosaic? Bill always liked to say that putting your roster together is a mosaic, right? Like, it's got all these little pieces, and you fit them together artfully. What's the timeline?
2026.
Okay, then I'm not... Yeah, and that's a good answer, because then I'm doing everything with that timeline in mind. And that may be... You know, in the last week, we've had this Drake May hate that he needs to sit for 2 years. He can't play for 2 years. Wow. And if you're drafting Drake May, and you believe in that... Gresh, I don't believe in that. But if you believe in that, I think that affects some of your other decisions. Why would I sign Keenan Allen to play 1 year, the last year of his career here, and get 1,000, like, to what end? I'd rather have young receivers, go the Packers route, where you have a young quarterback with young receivers. You know, the Packer way is taking over in Foxborough. So I think the timeline does matter in terms, and also with Ridley, though, if you are drafting a receiver that you really believe in, if you really think you're going to get a receiver at 34, let's say, or trade up. A.D. Mitchell's the guy I fall in love with, the kid out of Texas. I think he's an absolute stud. If you can get him, trade up late in the first round. You trade up from 34 to 26, you get A.D. Mitchell, you got your number one receiver. Then I don't really hate overpaying Ridley to be my two, because I'm not paying A.D. Mitchell a ton. Yeah. And by the time I have to pay A.D. Mitchell, I'm taking Ridley off the books. So I can average out those two wide receiver costs and just say, well, my wide receiver one and two cost me $22 million. $2 million for Mitchell and $20 for Ridley. And by the time Mitchell's ready to be the expensive one, Ridley's gone.
So, Andy, I want to ask you, because I think most people agree that at three, if there's a quarterback that they love, they just take him and it's over with.
Yeah.
What if it's a guy they don't believe in and we don't know what's going on in that room? What if you mentioned Drake May? Let's just, for example, let's just say they don't really think he's a great quarterback, and if they don't get Daniels, they don't want May. What's your plan after if that happens?
I think you trade down, because I think there's enough teams that are in need of quarterbacks that would be lusting after Drake May, can be talked into Drake May.
Then how do you get the quarterback? What do you do?
That's the problem.
Do you trade back in the first round, looking at Penix, looking at Knicks, or do you just say Brissett and Zappy?
Well, you can't do that.
No.
To me, that's irresponsible, as Bill Belichick once said about a quarterback depth chart in Indy. That would be irresponsible if you put Bailey Zappy and Jacoby Brissett out there with no hope for the future, because there's also no carrots on the horizon at the quarterback position in college football. No obvious, no Caleb Williams, no Trevor Lawrence's like you're lusting after a year or two from now. Next year's draft class at the quarterback position is very dubious. But I do think if you don't think there's a realistic chance that the guy that's available at three is a franchise quarterback, I think you have to trade out. I think you trade down. Maybe that allows you to recoup another extra one for next year. Maybe you don't think there's that much difference between Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, and you throw a J.J. McCarthy, Bailey Zappi, Jacoby Brissett depth chart out there, and you've added another one and some other picks to your assets, to steal Danny Ainge's term.
Hart, should we believe that just because Bill Belichick is out of the building that the group that's there can evaluate wide receivers, which has been a draft problem for many years here?
Yeah, no, I think everything is questionable right now. Everything is dubious. Matt Groh was there. Elliot Wolf was there. Matt Groh seemingly took credit for Tyquan Thornton when they took him, talking about you want fast players, you got to draft fast players, that whole line of thinking. And Tyquan Thornton stinks, and now he's bulking up, which I've never understood. Am I supposed to feel great that their speed-burning wide receiver is bulking up? Why is he bulking up? Because he realized he can't get by on speed in the NFL? Did Randy Moss have to bulk up? Like, I don't think you do. If you're really a fast, long receiver.
Well, that is quite an example.
Okay, give me an example of a skinny speed burner. What's his name?
Devontae Smith.
Devontae Smith.
Is he bulking up? Is he bulking up at all?
No, but he's also had...
Why? Because he's good.
Well, he's also had success his first 2 years.
Because he's good.
Tyquan Thornton's
It's not about the weight. It's about the talent, Thornton.
Tyquan.
You can put on as much weight as you want.
He's trying to do something different. Maybe they told him he's going to be a tight end.
Yeah,
maybe
okay, let's move him inside.
Maybe they want him to be Mike Williams 2.0, a big, oversized wide receiver.
A skinny jag and a fat jag, they're still jags. It doesn't matter. You haven't changed anything. So, what was the question?
How can we we fairly evaluate Tyquan Thornton given what's gone on here the last 2 years? Like, I think we do need to remind ourselves his de facto offensive coordinator in year one was an overweight guy who's lucky to have a job in Philly.
Yep.
Who's on the other side of the ball.
Have you ever seen Tyquan Thornton just, like, run by people and look special?
No.
He doesn't have special speed. He doesn't.
There's been none of the, oh, you got him on a matchup in the slot,
not
and he ran
fast.
A go route, and he's just throw, yeah.
Not football fast.
Thank you,
fast.
Lou. He's not football fast. Yeah. And fair or not, I always compare him to Bethel Johnson, who was another kind of bust second-round receiver, but he was football fast. There were times Brady threw it up, and you saw Bethel Johnson put it in gear six and go get the football and make a play for Brady, or on kickoff returns, put it in sixth gear and run away
go.
From people.
I was going to say, because so, Bethel Johnson would drop anything thrown to him.
No. Go back to that playoff game over the middle in the cold. He won the game for him.
Tyquan. Yeah, so the Pats have made some moves here, but you know, obviously no big splashes.
No.
I want to ask you about the O-line. Because I wouldn't mind if that splash came at tackle and allowed them to kind of approach it a little bit differently in the draft and just create some depth. If you're going to make one splash, to me, it's like the offensive line. If nothing else is out there in free agency, that's worth it.
Yeah, I think somehow you need to find either a receiver that you think is a starter or a left tackle that you think is a starter in the next couple days. You know, as I said earlier, I don't think you can go into the draft thinking you're going to nail the hell out of it to the point where you get a starting receiver and a starting tackle on day two, especially a starting left tackle.
Right.
I'd feel a little bit better, but you have right tackles. You have Mike Onwenu and you have Okorafor, who are both right tackles. I have no reason to believe you have anybody right now that can start at left tackle.
Calvin Anderson? Come on now.
Excuse me? No.
Yeah.
No, we're not doing that again. We're not doing any of those names. Andrew Stuba or any of these other guys we try to talk ourselves
Riley
into.
Reef.
No, I want an actual tackle.
Right.
And you might be able to get one at 34, but I don't think you can also get a receiver. So if you're going to get the receiver, if you somehow sneak in and get Ridley or Hollywood or make a trade, okay, I feel better about now I can target tackle late in the first round if I trade up or at 34. That's why Tyron Smith is so intriguing, and I know they have some like for him in the building, but he's a scary proposition because he's played like less than half the games over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
He's old and he doesn't play. When he's out there, I still think he can be good, and he might be a good mentor to some of your young tackles that you're trying to draft and develop. But as much as I wanted Onwenu back because I thought you needed some stability somewhere on that line, you still have a gaping hole. I just wish Okorafor were a left tackle. Like, if you had told me he started 59 games for the Steelers at left tackle, even if he's middling, but he's got NFL starting experience over multiple seasons at left tackle, I'd feel better about this whole operation. But I don't, because you got two right tackles and no left tackle.
It kind of feels like Jonah Williams from Cincinnati.
Sure.
He was the left tackle who went to the other side when they got Orlando Brown.
You can sell me on him.
That feels, but it also feels like, and again, I know it was a Bill Belichick dirty word, but they still use it down there. That's kind of the value add, let's say, because it's a guy who's played the right side. Market's probably a little suppressed on him. Hey, we know we can put him on the left side and at least survive if something else doesn't work out. Because, Hart, you're 1,000,000% right. If the number three pick is automatically going to go to a quarterback, and it's pretty much they've said that down there, then you got the high second rounder. Is it going to a wide receiver or is it going to a tackle? And a lot of people talk about trading back. I wonder if the real trade back is in the second round to get you an extra third-round asset, because the crop of wide receivers outside of the top two, it's really 20 to like 90 is where the crop of wide receivers are. So everybody's focusing on trading down from three. I'm wondering if the trade down is really in the second round. You can still get a tackle and add a wide receiver in that round for people who might be able to come in and play.
Sure. It's a dangerous game to play.
Yep.
I mean, you're getting further away from the elite talent. And I think there's going to be some teams that do the opposite. You know, there's a certain tackle or receiver they like, and when those runs start in the teens and the 20s,
they're going to blink and they're going to jump.
I'm going back up. I'm getting him at 25. I'm not waiting to see if he makes it to the second night of the draft. So there's going to be a lot of evaluations there. And the both of those positions, we've already done the podcast, quick pimping of the podcast here, Six Rings and Football Things Prospect Podcast, available now on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts. But we broke down wide receivers. We broke down tackles.
Nice.
We've already broken down quarterbacks. And both of those positions are indeed deep. But there's guys in there that I think some will love, like the Worthy kid out of Texas. Oh, he ran a 4.21. Yeah, that's great. Is he a good receiver? I don't think so.
My kid loves him. Thinks he's the best wide receiver in college football because of that 40.
Yeah,
I disagree with your child. But hey, Al Davis made a career out of basically thinking the same thing. Take the biggest, fastest guy and see if he can play football later. But there's just this variance of guys that Ladd McConkey, people can love him, people can not love him. People are going to fall in love with certain guys, but not everybody. So yeah, there's going to be 20 receivers drafted. But if you only like six of them and four or five of them start to go early, are you going to jump up to get that last receiver that's actually on your board that you think can actually come in and have an impact? So this is fun season. This is, you know, when you have high picks and high needs and all of this, it's fun. But I do believe Elliott Wolf has been really Belichickian in sticking to his value. And he's, if we're going to be honest, he's won the contracts. He's won the game. Yeah, you know, I think with Duggar and the transition tag, the market's flooded with safeties. I don't think Duggar's going to see what he thought he was going to see out there. Mike Onwenu, I think he thought he was going to get north of $20 million like Robert Hunt in Carolina. He did not. He came back sub $20 million. Hunter Henry, I thought he'd get a little bump on $12 million a year. He's playing for less than $10 million a year. You got freaking guys turning down supposedly $11 million guaranteed elsewhere for $3 million here.
Not buying that.
I'm not buying it one bit.
No, oh, yeah, you're not. You're right.
You're just
with
talking
us,
about
right?
Uche. Yeah.
I don't mean to be disrespectful, but he is a dumb person if he left 11
No way
million
you turned down 11 guaranteed.
Guaranteed
over 2 years for three.
Correct.
To come back you, to this? Like, you know no should, disrespect, but
no.
And, what is
and
this?
Everybody's like, well, what if he has a big year? Well, he had a big half a year once. The rest of his career is trending toward out of the league, not getting a massive new contract.
Right.
Like, you know who should he should apologize to? Like, kids, grandkids? Grandkids, kids, anyone that's like, hey, that's our inheritance that you just left on the table elsewhere. That's generational money for $11 million.
And let me just add this quickly because I know we got to run. But I heard so much about connectivity to players.
Yeah.
When does that start to show itself in free agency?
Well, Josh Uche just turned down $11 million on the table to come back here. Could you get more connectivity?
But,
he loves him some mayo, baby.
But how about being able to like recruit players? Because, again, one of the narratives that started up at the end of the Belichick run, which was kind of poppycock, quite honestly, was the doesn't connect to people, doesn't connect to players. Okay, well, if you're telling me the new guy does, then when does that connectivity come into play so Calvin Ridley doesn't ping-ding-a-ling around and use you for 2 days? When is that? If this is the great connector of people, for God's sakes, when is he going to connect with an outside free agent to be able to get somebody worth a damn in here? I'm waiting for the Messiah to connect. My God, it's like the internet AOL dial-up.
You are an angry large man, but I don't think you're wrong. I think they're learning in the building that a 36-year-old Gerard Mayo isn't really a draw. Like, no one is excited. And I think that happens in all. Oh, we're going to get a young head coach with this and that ex-player. No.
Give me money.
More and more. It's money.
Yeah.
It's money. Hell, now it's basically money in high school, money in college, and money in the pros. You can bring in an alumni, great head coach, blah, blah, blah. How much is my NIL? How much is my signing bonus? How much is guaranteed? The rest of it, okay. Do I want to play for a nice guy once I get here and I'm earning my... Sure, that's great, but that's gravy. The Sunday is actually the money.
There you go. Andy Hart of WEEI.com. Hart will be in this chair that Lou is in on Thursday and Friday because Foyer's got to sun his fanny in Florida. Hart, thank you.
Hardest working man in the business, I guess, huh? I don't think
that's
so.
Two.
He might be the hardest man in the business.
Thanks,
too,
Andy. Good talking to you.
See you guys.
That's two. We got two great drops today from Andy Hart. We will take it.